All right, thank you, Brittany. Okay, let's go to John chapter 15 this morning, please. John chapter 15. Let's begin reading. Stand with me if you would, please. I'm going to read beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Again, verse 5 says there at the end, without me you can do nothing. Amen. Philippians, don't turn there, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help this morning. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to take full control of my heart and my mind. Lord, that I would have the utterance that you want me to have, that I would speak, Lord God, with the boldness that I need, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would go into the hearts and do the work that needs to be done. Lord, I pray, oh please, I yield myself to thee, Father. May you take full control of me today. Without you, Lord God, I can do nothing. And Lord, I don't want to be guilty of that today. I beg you, Father, that you would have control, liberty, power, and you would bind the devil, God. You would keep him away from here, from the distractions in this place. Lord, help us to hear from heaven. We need you, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to say to you this morning that what I see in John chapter 15, Jesus preparing his disciples for him to go away. He's preparing them and he's telling them, men, there's something that you're going to have to do after I'm gone. You're going to have to abide in me. You're going to have to continue with me just like we are right now. He's literally standing in front of them, talking to them in their presence. He's talking to them. They're listening to him. There's a relationship there. There's a time being spent there together. And that's what he says. He says, men, you're going to have to continue this after I go away. You're going to have to continue allowing me to speak to you and you listen to me after I go away. You're going to have to continue to spend time with me in prayer and in my word after I go away. You're going to have to continue to abide in me in this relationship that we have right now. You're going to have to let this continue after I go away. He says something here and then in verse 5 that we cannot escape, we cannot overlook. I'm afraid we just really don't consider this enough. But he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But, he says, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus, listen to me, if I read that correctly, which I don't think there's any way to really misread that or misunderstand, if I read that correctly, Jesus is all that we need. We need Jesus more than we need anything else in this world.
Man, that's right.
We need Jesus more than we need anything or anybody else in this world.
Right.
We need Jesus more than anything this world world has to offer us. We can do a lot of things without Jesus that mean nothing to in eternity. We can do a lot of things in this life without Jesus, but according to Jesus, according to what he says, if it's going to be eternal, if it's going to make a difference, if it's going to be something that is fruit, that's produced from him, I need him. I can't do anything without him. I don't think we understand the severity of this phrase. I don't think we really think about this enough to really let this sink in here this morning. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. In other words, anything that I do is not going to be profitable for me in eternity. Anything that I do without Jesus Christ is not going to help anybody else. Anything I do without Jesus Christ is not going to help me. Anything I do without Jesus Christ is not going to benefit anybody or anything. It's not going to make one iota of a difference, and it's certainly not going to glorify God. But however, when I turn over to Philippians 4:13, I read another phrase that the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
The difference between all things and nothing, that's a very large, I mean, from one extreme to the other, is it not? The difference between I can do all things or I can do nothing is Jesus. Jesus. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about just a knowledge of Jesus. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maintaining, again, he says, I am the true vine. There's a truth that we have to get a hold of here today, that Jesus is the only source of strength in our life. If anything is going to matter, if we do anything for the Lord, it's going to have to be with Jesus backing it up, Jesus empowering, Jesus strengthening us, Jesus making it happen, Jesus motivating us. It's Jesus, my friends. It's Jesus, dearly beloved. He's the difference maker between all things and nothing in this world. People are not going to stop doing anything. They're going to continue to do things, and we're always doing things. I mean, we're as busy in America as we've ever been. We've got so much technology, and we've got so many methods of transportation, and we've got so many ways of getting things done now. And boy, back in the day when people had simple lives, you know, they got up with the sun and they went to bed with the sun. And when the sun went down, and things, they were busy. But we're so full now that we stay up all night, and we walk in darkness, and we can't do anything during the day because we're so tired. And the thing, what I'm saying to you is, we're busier than we've ever been, but we're getting less done for the glory of God than we've ever have.
Okay.
Are you with me this morning?
Yes,
Americans, I don't know about the whole world. I've lived overseas. I've lived in other countries and seen other countries, and their lives are not quite as complicated as ours. But we have a problem in America with we think busyness is profitable. We think being busy is what we need to be. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you're not going to accomplish anything. He didn't say that you can't do anything. He says you're not going to do anything worth any while for the glory of God. Look what it says there again in verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Amen.
Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Much fruit is what the Lord is talking about here today. Much fruit. Now, I'm not going to go into a fruit discourse here about, but listen to me. These are souls of mankind. These are you and me producing more Christians. Okay, a vine is a grapevine. You understand that? A branch grows off the grapevine, and on that branch grows grapes. A vine then produces what it needs to, the branch needs to produce grapes. A grapevine is a vineyard, is is there to produce grapes. And if I'm a branch in that vineyard, then I'm of the same nature as the vine. You understand? If I'm a branch growing off of that vine in that vineyard, then I'm the same nature that's going to produce grapes. In other words, you know, I'm just for simple sake of illustration, I can't be an apple tree and produce grapes. So in this illustration that the Lord Jesus is using here, in John 15, he's saying, there's a grapevine, I'm the true vine, you're the branches, and our Father is the husbandman. He's the owner of the vineyard. He comes and he desires fruit. He desires other grapes. He desires other lives. He desires us to produce a fruit for his honor and his glory. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit.
That's right.
Amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Amen.
Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that wins souls is wise.
Amen.
This fruit in this chapter is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is born by the Holy Spirit. This is you and me bearing fruit.
Right.
Are y'all listening to me this morning?
Amen.
This is you and me bearing fruit. This is you and me producing, disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 20, he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He said in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What is he saying? He's saying, no, I'm there with you. Why? Because he's the vine and I'm the branch. And the branch is a human being, yes, but if I'm not producing fruit, if I'm not producing Christians, if I'm not being a gospel witness and bearing a fruit for my Father, I'm not glorifying God, and I'm not doing anything that's making a difference in this world.
Right.
And the key, he says here, is without me. He says, I'm the true vine.
Amen.
There's a lot of things that are people, I should say, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but there's a lot of fake vines, okay? There's a lot of things and people who claim to be the true vine, but you and I'm not going to get into that today. I don't think I need to convince you that Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. But how in the world then am I going to be careful? God says that I am to bear much fruit, verse 8, that my Father is glorified when I bear much fruit. And I'm not a disciple of Christ if I'm not bearing much fruit. And dearly beloved, he says, without me, you can't do anything. You're not going to make it happen. It's not going to happen. I'm burdened about this. I think maybe that's what I'm trying to get across to you today, is that God's people are not concerned about bearing fruit for their Heavenly Father. God's people are not concerned about winning souls for their Heavenly Father. God's people are busy doing so many things, but yet they're not busy bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing what God wants us to do while we're still alive, like we said in Sunday school, separated unto the gospel.
Amen.
He that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Dearly beloved, there's so many things on my heart this morning. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
Oh, you can live, but you can't. You're not going to do anything for God. You can have a life and you can live to be old and gray and have grandchildren and have all of those things this world offers you. But you know, anybody can do that. I'm telling you today, there's a dearth, there's a great lack of God's people getting busy bearing fruit for God's glory. That's what Jesus is talking about. And he says, every branch in me, in verse 2, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The husbandman, he's talking about, the Father in heaven, he taketh it away because it's not doing its job. That means, listen to me, that means he's no longer attached to the vine. The fellowship is gone.
Yeah, come on.
You know, when I'm attached to that vine as a branch, all I am is a branch. By the way, don't miss this, the point that the branch has one duty, one responsibility, one purpose. It's not to make the world look better.
Hello.
The branch is not in a grapevine, in a vineyard attached to a grapevine to make the vineyard look better. The branch is not there to make the environment, you know, be more kosher or more comfortable. The branch is not there but for one reason, one purpose, and that is to bear fruit. That is to produce fruit for the husbandman, the owner of the vineyard, the one who put that there, the one who planted that, the one who made it possible that we could bear fruit. Our purpose in life, if you're born again this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you're born again this morning, all you are is a branch. We've got too many people trying to be the vine and trying to dictate what they're going to do and trying to tell God how they're going to do it, and that's why their lives are producing zilch, zero, nothing for the glory of God. Because all we are is branches. That's all we are. It's not, it's, by the way, it's not a bad thing to be a branch for God Almighty.
Amen.
It's the greatest privilege we could ever have.
Amen.
And I think maybe we need to get back to just remembering that this morning. It's good, listen to me, it's good that God would want me to be a branch. It's a blessing. Listen, why? Because the branch, for the first thing is the branch gets to be attached to the vine.
Yeah.
I mean attached. I mean connected. Amen. If there is a connection there like no other. You understand all of that life-giving a source of life that flows through that vine flows right into those branches.
Amen.
Listen, as long as it's connected.
That's right.
And boy, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about a fellowship. He's talking about a connection. Because he says here in verse 2, if the Father sees that I'm not bearing fruit, He takes me away. You understand, when a branch is attached to the vine and it's not bearing fruit, you know what it becomes? It becomes a distraction. It becomes a source of weight, really, a burden for the other branches. Because the vine is producing what's necessary, flowing into the branches for life, for new fruit. And when that branch is not healthy, and that branch just refuses, and that's one thing about the grapevine branches, they can't refuse, but we can. When that branch refuses to use what God's given him to produce fruit that God desires, when that branch just rebels and full of pride and rejects the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, neglecting so great a salvation, we just neglect what God's given us, we neglect the mercies of God, we refuse to do what God wants us to do. God says, I'm going to break that connection. The fellowship is going to be gone.
Yeah.
And then what sets in afterwards? Discouragement, bitterness, anger. We complain about what life is, how come life is so difficult. Look with me in Proverbs 19, if you would, please. Proverbs 19, verse 3. I'm telling you today, it is the greatest privilege in the world to be a branch for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you don't remember anything else from this, don't forget that it is the greatest privilege in this life to be a branch connected to that vine. There are so many people who never get that option. They never get that privilege. They never get that honor. They go through this whole life never being born again, never being taught about preach the gospel, never being ever seeing the truth and seeing the glorious light, and they just live their whole lives worthless and wasted. But you and me have been saved, amen. Say amen. I've been born again. I'm attached to Jesus. I have an awesome privilege and purpose. I can bear fruit for my Heavenly Father. There's something I can do in this life that's going to make an eternal difference for all of eternity.
Right.
This is an amazing privilege to be a branch attached to the true vine. Oh, Lord God, help us. There's so many fake vines out there. Look in Proverbs 19, verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. A man lives foolishly. He lives like an idiot. He makes foolish decisions. Now, listen to me. When the Bible talks about a fool in the book of Proverbs, That's a lost person, okay? A fool. But this doesn't say a fool. This says the foolishness of man. This could be a lost or a saved person.
Right.
Because this is a man who is living and making foolish decisions. Okay? The foolishness of a man perverteth his way. What does that mean? That means he gets his life all twisted and jumbled and messed up.
Yep,
his foolishness, his wicked, dumb decisions make his life an absolute train wreck. And then what's the rest of that verse say? Then his heart fretteth against the Lord. Now to fret means I complain, I get angry, I gripe, I murmur, I blame God. Man's heart. Listen, we are our heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and we do such foolish things. Amen. This is not about you. This is about me. Amen. We do foolish things, and then we find ourselves complaining about God's will. We find ourselves complaining about God's word. We find ourselves complaining about God's church. We find ourselves fretting against God's man, the pastor. We find ourselves complaining about our lives, our money, our marriage, our children, our parents. I mean, we fret and fret and fume and fuss and do nothing but get miserable, and all along God's saying, hey, it's your foolish decisions. And what this is you have made decisions that have caused you to stop bearing fruit, and now God's broken you off. Your fellowship is gone. And see, Jesus, listen to me, that vine, everything that flows through that vine is everything that I need as a branch.
Yeah.
That's everything that I need. And when I'm broken off because I'm foolish and I decide to do things my way, then all that I need, everything that I need, is gone.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your fellowship.
Amen.
Then everything that flows through that vine that makes me a fruitful Christian is gone.
Yeah.
And then I'm a branch with nothing in me to do what I'm designed to do. Then I'm like a fish out of water. Have you ever seen a happy fish out of water? Have you ever seen a fish who's enjoying life out of water?
Come on, breathe.
Now that poor fish probably didn't choose to be out of water, but we're so foolish many times that our foolishness makes us get out of the water or get off of the branch, and then we begin to fret against God. We blame God for everything that's wrong in our life, and we take drastic measures to fix everything when God says, without me, you can do nothing.
Right. Come on. Right.
Nothing.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to turn with me to Matthew 11, if you would. Matthew 11 this morning. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's salvation. That's the beauty of salvation right there. I'm burdened down with sin. I'm burdened down with life, with misery and sadness. And then I come to Jesus. He says, I'll give you rest. But he says, but only if you take my yoke upon you. Look in verse 29. The rest doesn't come from me not doing anything. Pay attention now. This is crucial. Do you understand this? When he says, I'll give you rest, it doesn't just mean, okay, you go over there and sit down in that corner and you do nothing for the rest of your life. You just rest. That's not, he says,
right.
You take my yoke upon you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
The reason God's people don't have rest, look what he says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. That rest doesn't come just because, listen, I got saved, I get relieved, I get free of sin. Yes, salvation is great, but I'm not going to have a restful, peaceful life just because I'm saved.
Yeah.
You know that. You know that. That does not happen.
Right.
That does not work that way. What gives me that rest is when I take his yoke.
Amen.
I take his yoke. I told you in Sunday school this morning, God doesn't take anything.
No, he doesn't.
He gives us that yoke and he says, this is what's going to give you rest. This is what's going to give you rest in your soul. This is what's finally going to make you realize, hey, this is why I was created. This is why I'm here. God has saved me. And then he says, now take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find that rest for your souls. Look what that next verse says. My yoke is what?
Easy.
Easy. Have you ever heard a Christian say, man, this Christian life is hard? Have you ever said that yourself? Come on now, you don't have to tell me. But you know good and well you've said that yourself. Wow, this Christian life is hard. Hey, dearly beloved, you know why it's hard? Because you're not in the yoke. Because his yoke is easy. See, a lot of people taking that yoke off, Brother Worcester, but Jesus says, take it on. A lot of people taking it off and saying, no, that's not for me. I mean, we can make any number of reasons. I mean, we can't make, the excuses are as long as, the world is wide. Round. But the excuses are forever. But the point is, when the Christian life becomes hard, it's because you're not in the yoke. Because if Jesus is telling me the truth, and by the way, he can't lie, he said, my yoke is easy.
That's right.
His yoke is easy. Why? Because he's doing all the pulling. Because he's doing all the work. I'm just in the yoke with him. He's the one making the difference. He's the one exerting all the power and the force. I'm just along for the ride, glory to God. And that's easy compared to me having to do it all. That's a lot easier than me trying to make a way. That's a lot easier than me trying to make a difference. I just get in the yoke with him. He's God, amen. He does all the work, and I just get to enjoy the rest. But listen, the yoke is the difference. The yoke is the vine. The vine. Take my yoke upon you. I'm the true vine. I've got everything you need. It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's not a Bible.
Yep.
It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's not a church. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not a religion. It's Jesus. I don't think we don't keep this thing straight. We've got to get this thing straight if we're ever going to glorify God. He's a living Savior, Jesus. He's the true vine. His yoke is what we're looking for. Look, verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of
me.
He says, for I am meek and lowly. Why am I getting in the yoke? I'm not getting in the yoke for any other reason than to get closer to him.
Yeah.
Learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he says, when you get in my yoke and you learn about me, well, how does that help me, preacher? Think about it for a minute. I'm realizing how wonderful my Savior is.
Amen.
I'm realizing how amazing this salvation is. I'm realizing how Almighty God could have made a way for me to know him.
Yeah. Amen.
He says, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And then you'll find rest. You'll find rest. Jesus doesn't need to rest. Amen. He's not human like we are. He never has been human like we are. He was a sinless human being. Amen. Christ, God Almighty, manifest. But he never has been needing rest like you and me. He gets weary. I understand he did get weary in his body. But understand he is in heaven now. He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he says, I'm the true vine. I'm the yoke that you're looking for. I'm the rest that you need. He says, stop making foolish decisions. Stop deciding to do things your way. You're going to think it's hard because you've gone away from the rest. The rest that he wants you to have. I mean, go over to Philippians where I was now. Philippians chapter 4. Well, I read earlier this verse, but I want you to see the context now, Philippians chapter 4. Let's just jump down to verse 9. The Apostle Paul is writing this from prison. He's in prison. It's one of his prison epistles. He says here in verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of what? Peace. Peace shall be with you."
Amen.
Now wait a minute. He's in prison.
Right.
So is he saying, well, God will give you peace, but he's not giving me any? No, he said, you do what I do, and you'll have the same peace. He's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
He's locked up. He's bound. He can't go or do. He's a prisoner. He says, you do what I do. And they're thinking, Paul, I don't want to do what you do. I don't want to be in prison with you. But see, he's got so much peace in his heart. He's got the rest. Why? Because he's in the yoke.
That's right. That's right.
Because he's attached to that vine, he is directly connected to the source of all joy, all peace, all strength. His life is still bearing fruit. Dead. He being dead yet speaketh.
Amen.
I mean, all the time. God's Spirit in that book speaking, using the Apostle Paul, and he says, if you'll do what I... What was he doing? Preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
What was he doing? Being a witness. What was he doing? Telling people about Jesus. What was he doing? Abiding in Christ.
Right.
He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen. He says, do. Do them. And he says, the God of peace shall be with you. In verse 10, he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He says, it's not that I'm lacking anything. Don't worry about that. He says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to do without and how to abound. He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. What he's saying, he says, I've been in both places. I've been up, I've been down, I've been everywhere in between. I've hurt, I've rejoiced, I've seen people saved, I've seen people throw rocks at me. I've seen churches start, I've seen people spit on me. I've seen people get saved and baptized and go on and preach the gospel themselves. I've seen other people beat me within an inch of my life. He says, now I want you to learn from me and do those same things so that you can have peace that I have.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Now, listen, I don't think, in America, we don't have a whole lot to worry about here. I mean, I don't think, look what he says in verse 4 of this same chapter. From prison, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, there's so much joy in there. There's so much peace in there. There's so much strength in there. That's what he says in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus is everything. He is everything. It's not... I don't think that we've got to come to a place in our hearts. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Lamb. He's the Lion. He's everything we need. He's Jesus. He is all the world to you and me. He needs to be all the world to you and me. He is the true vine. Without me, you can do nothing. I'm not going to ask you. Don't answer me. But how many days, weeks, months go by and you feel like your life is worth nothing?
Come on.
You feel like you're completely worthless. You're not accomplishing anything. You feel like, man, I'm if I died tomorrow, this world would just keep on going. And yeah, it would. If I was gone, nobody would miss me. You know, when you start feeling that way, when you start thinking that my life is worthless, nobody cares about me, all you're doing is disconnecting yourself from the vine, disconnecting, taking the yoke off, getting out of away from Jesus Christ, because He is joy, He is rest, He is peace, He is strength, and He is fruit. Fruit. Fruit is Jesus.
Amen.
It's not, listen to me, how can I say it that you don't get confused? It's not about what I do. It's about who I spend my time with. It's not about what I do so much as who I spend my time with. It's not so much about whether I do or don't. See, we get caught up in do's and don'ts. I'm talking about a relationship. I'm talking about a conscious fellowship with a living Savior, Jesus Christ. There, He is the source. What can you do without Him? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
That's right.
You'll try. Listen to me. You'll try. You'll keep trying, and you'll keep trying, and you'll keep trying. And see, you'll think, "Hey, I'm the exception. I can do this." We've all been there. We all go down that road. But Jesus is calling. He says, "Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy." My yoke is going to lead you to places you would never get on your own. My yoke is going to do things for you that you could never do on your own. My yoke is easy because I'm doing all the work. I'm doing all the heavy lifting, amen. I'm doing all the pushing and grunting and groaning. I'm doing all the sweating. And I'm just using you to be a voice and a light and a lamp and salt in this old world. I'm going to do all the hard work. Just stay in my yoke. It's easy.
Amen.
The Christian life, the way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. Now listen to me. I know 2 Timothy. Some of you may be thinking ahead of me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, I'm to endure hardness as a good soldier. I know that. Enduring hardness as a good soldier doesn't mean that my life is hard. It just means I'm going through some hard spots.
Right.
But His yoke is easy.
Amen.
Enduring hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ means I'm in the yoke and He's just pulling me through some rough spots right now. He doesn't say I have to enjoy hardness. I endure hardness though because I'm in the yoke. Because I'm attached to the vine. I'm abiding in Him. And going back to John 15, you don't have to turn back there. He's talking to His disciples just like I'm talking to you. They're listening to Him just like I hope you're listening to me.
Amen.
And He's saying, guys, I'm going away soon. You've got to keep this relationship strong. You've got to continue to hear my voice. You've got to continue to listen to me. You've got to continue to stay right here with me. Even after I'm gone.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, that's where fruit is. Because that's going to make you. Listen, a branch can't make fruit. Have you ever thought about that? A branch can't make fruit. It just bears fruit.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means it's just healthy. It's attached to a strong, true, healthy vine. And it just bears fruit as a natural outpouring of the strength and the joy and the peace that it has. He that winneth souls is wise. Why? Because he's abiding in the vine. Because when he preaches the gospel, it's not something that's abstract from his life. When he tells somebody about Jesus, he's telling somebody about his best friend. When I preach the gospel to somebody and I'm abiding in Christ, Jesus Christ is doing all the hard work in their hearts. He's doing all the plowing in their hearts. He's doing all the convicting in their soul. He's doing all the hard work. All I'm doing is telling them about my best friend. Because I'm abiding with Him. Because I spend so much time with Him. Because He's my joy, my strength, my peace, my all in all.
Yep.
Without him, nothing. But he said, preacher, I'm saved. He can never leave me nor forsake. I understand all that. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking about fruit. I'm talking about glorifying God. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit.
Amen.
And so shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this